Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what you're saying when you say that? That's a universal word. They say it the same way in Germany, in China, all across our universe. And that's kind of amazing, isn't it? And it means hail to the Creator, Jehovah my Redeemer. So when you say hallelujah, you're saying something. It's not just a religious word. Hallelujah! You know, people say it. You're saying something. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, what's going on with the snow? You like that? Didn't you just love it yesterday? I'll tell you. February can be up and down, can't it? I'm looking for spring to bump in, aren't you? Hallelujah. That's right. That's a good hallelujah there. All right. I didn't get my 30 miles in this week. So, because of that snow. You know, I run on that trail. And I can't be running in snow, you know, real deep. So, I didn't get my 30 in. But I'll get it in this week. So, you know, that's all right. You don't have to beat yourself up when you know, I had a goal set and I think I only got in 7 this week, so. But you know how sometimes you set a goal and you don't reach it, and then you beat yourself up? You don't need to do that, you know? We cannot, you know? How about your eating? You guys been eating right and stuff? Staying away from the fried foods and all that? Are you guys doing well with that? You act like you don't want to talk about it. Oh, boy, I tell you. Well, that's something we have to keep bringing up, you know, because play the movie, right? Keep playing the movie. What are we going to look like 5 years from now, 1 year from now? You know, if we don't change something, our eating habits, our exercising habits, something, we're just going to keep doing the same thing, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of things we can avoid if we get some new habits and new things in our life. And God's calling us to change. People don't like change, do they? That's what he's all about. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. We're still going to be talking about reconciliation. And we're just looking at it in a different angle, from a different angle tonight. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. I did a wedding today. So it's been a busy week. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You may be seated. Father, we come to you right now and we ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would continue to minister to our hearts this evening, Lord. Lord, we ask that your word would come alive. Your words are living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Lord, let your word just pierce us tonight, Lord. May we not be the same because we have been in your presence and received your word, your everlasting word. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will be forever. All right, amen and amen. All right, now, we've been looking at reconciliation, getting back to what? Back to life, right? That's the whole idea. Back to. So that's the concept. Back to what happened before the fall from grace, right? Remember, there was never any judging, criticizing, and condemning thoughts or words before the fall from grace. So that's where we're moving We want to move towards that. And we want to create that atmosphere. I know I repeat this a lot, but hey, once we get this, this is going to help us all. And if we just keep this in our hearts and keep it fresh, it helps you. Because you're not judging and you're not trying to reason and battling in your thought life at others, you know. And it helps freeze you up to be who you're supposed to be. Now, so we want to create that atmosphere that's not judging and condemning and critical. So how are we going to do that? Remember, full of grace and full of truth. Remember, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus was full of grace, full of truth. That's the way we're to be, right? So we're to give people grace wherever they are in their walk. We've been talking about babies, children, and growing into adulthood as believers. And we got them all coming in here. We even got some natural folks coming in. Natural. They're living in the natural all the way. You know, they haven't been born again yet. So that's the idea. You know what? I'm going to ask you to, as you're listening tonight and receiving, I'm going to ask you to identify where you're at. Just kind of identify where you're at. We're going to talk about the natural man. We're going to talk about the carnal man. And we're going to talk about the spiritual man. So we are in a growth process here, and we are growing numerically. And as we grow numerically, we're being challenged spiritually in our commitment. And so we got to understand that we are going to have to remain committed if we're going to meet the demands of the numerical growth that's taking place here. And so we're going to have to stay together and endeavor and keep speaking life to one another, because that's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen if we don't do it His way, right? You can't fill this place up and everybody in this close proximity and getting along, it just doesn't happen. You have to have God. You have to do it His way, right? And that's what we have one Father, and everybody's coming to the same Father. And we want to hear from Him. And He's speaking to all of us in different ways. And we come from all kinds of different backgrounds, right? To hear His Word. And He will speak to all of us. And we can receive, and but when we have this idea that we're full of grace and full of truth and we're not judging people, it just makes the atmosphere more empowering and more edifying. So that's what God's calling us to. All right? So, didn't you love all those young people here last week? Wasn't that great? I like that group. Well, you see that guy? That guy was good, wasn't he? He was busting it up, wasn't he? Had that guitar going. I like that. You know, and all them young people, folks, that's what we want to reach young people. If we're not reaching young people, right? And so that's why this atmosphere. You know what? I was so proud and so blessed by us, the people here, and what I heard from people, how they accepted that. And, you know, they just jumped. You see them dancing? I saw you picking it up a little bit there, Mike. I mean, you know, I just thought it was wonderful. You know, that says something about where we are in our walk with God and as the body. You know, we can accept and receive these young people. And that's so important. That's major. That is major. All right. So what's he say here? Reconciliation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So if we're going to understand reconciliation, and we're going to have to grow in some areas. What's he say here? Look what he says. He says that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That word imputing, not imputing, it means to ascribe or to keep record of. So God didn't keep record of people's sins and wrongdoings towards Him. So God has called you and I to not keep record of what people do to us. And anytime we do, we're not about the ministry of reconciliation. How many of you know that's not that easy? Because when somebody does you wrong and somebody hurts you, you know, you want to mark it down and, you know, bring it up later on. Anybody ever done that? I have. That's not the ministry of reconciliation. We should be in such a spirit and such a understanding of reconciliation that whenever somebody does us wrong, we can forgive them and we can be around them and look at them like they've never done it, like it never happened. Never bringing it up, never talk. I'm getting better at this. You know, I was out to dinner the other night and had a bunch of folks, you know, the family, and, you know, I know a lot of them aren't, you know, they're not cheerleading me on, you know what I mean? But I had a lot of grace for them. You know, I did. I'm growing. You know, and I could tell, you know, there's, you know how you can feel it when you're certain places? But I was at the table right there, you know? What's he prepares the table before you in the presence, right? So, anybody hear that? Am I making sense? So the idea is that's where he's taking us. And if you're going to be about the ministry of reconciliation, you can't be a person who's keeping record of people who have done you wrong or done things wrong in your life. Because God says he didn't, and that's what he's committed to you, the word of reconciliation. That's a big word. And when we understand it, it removes a lot and it empowers you. But it takes maturity to really walk in it. And it takes you growing and being purposeful about this. All right. Go with me to, first go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. So, we've talked about children, babies, children, and growing into adulthood as believers in the spiritual realm. Verse 14, look at this. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What's that saying? That's saying somebody who has not been born again, born of the Spirit, when you try to explain spiritual things to them, they think it's foolishness. They think, they're just like, man, you're from outer space. Have you ever, you work around people like that? There's probably some folks in the church like that. And that's okay. We want them here, right? This is where they belong. But we have to understand where we are in our walk with God. So the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. So, they're spiritually discerned. See, you have to be born of the Spirit in order to discern the things of the Spirit. God is a Spirit, right? We are to worship Him in spirit and truth. So the natural man, all right, we got to understand this, because there's going to be times that you talk to people or people in your family or people at work or even people in church that they just think what you're talking about is foolishness. Because we're going to have people come in here that don't have a clue. And if you're about the ministry of reconciliation and you run up on that, you're going to know that, hey, this person just needs to be born again, or they're just not there yet. Does that make sense? So that helps you to understand that. So we need to understand that. Okay? Now, go with me to, now look at there in chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So to be carnally minded or to be a carnal Christian is to be a baby. That's a born-again baby. That's a person who's born again, and they're not their lives aren't being governed by God's Word and His Spirit. Their lives are still being governed by their five senses. You see that? Their five senses. They're not being governed by God's Word. They're being governed by their senses. Okay? And so they'll, you know, their temper, they still have their temper, they still, you know, complaining, they still don't have control over their tongues, they're still, you know, saying things that are hurtful because they are babies, right? Babies act like babies, don't they? Is that right? And so when people are acting like that, just know where they're coming from, right? Carnal mind. It says in Romans 8, the carnal mind brings forth death, separation from God, but the spiritual mind brings forth life and peace. See, we're after the Spirit, and that's what we want to be. We want to be spiritually minded. We want to be spiritual people, right? Mature. We want to be maturing spiritually. Okay. So he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Okay, back up there in verse 1. He says, to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Remember what the word babes means? It's the Greek word nepios, and it literally means not able to talk. So when a baby Christian has not learned the language of the kingdom, and they will say things that are hurtful and can really be, you know, out there. And, you know, they may not come to church all the time. So you have to understand that. And we have to be able to give them the grace and understanding till they get to where they need to be. And maybe look out after them and maybe call them up and say, hey, why don't you, let's go out to dinner or something. But you see, a carnal Christian is not feeding themselves. That's why they're staying carnal. They're not going to the word search, the Bible studies. They're not waking up in the morning and feeding on God's Word. That's not priority in their life. Their senses are ruling. Now look at this. For I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Now that word carnal, it comes from the word carne, and it literally, have you ever heard of chili con carne? That means chili with meat in it. And so it literally means fleshly or meaty. And so, you know, I always say the carnal-minded man brings forth death, or the carnal mind is a meathead. You can say it that way. You don't want to... So if you see him, call him a meathead. No, don't do that. But that's basically what's going on. They don't understand. They're just carnal. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, you are not carnal and behave, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? See, Paul is addressing this idea of carnality in the church because it is very evident, it's very real. And that's what you and I, as growing believers, got to understand. We got to understand this. A lot of people, I've got people coming into my office and calling me. I can tell. Boy, they just don't understand certain things. I had some people last week, I couldn't believe some of the things I was hearing because they had their kids in there and they just don't understand. So we got to really raise our consciousness about growing and if we're growing and how we're responding, because folks, we are growing numerically. And we're getting ready to go into two services. September 16th, right, Steve? Two services. March. Oh, September. Well. March 16th. Thanks, Pastor Brody. March 16th, we're going two services. So 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. You know, and it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge to do this. This is not going to be easy. You know, if you're going to, you know what? I've made up my mind. I am going to spend my life in the kingdom of God. I am not going to spend my life in the world system and trying to reason and figure out. My life is being spent in the kingdom of God. That's what we have to do. We have to make up our mind. Am I going to spend my life in the kingdom of God, or am I going to spend my life in the world system? There's just this battle all the time. And so I've made up my mind. I am going to spend my life in the kingdom of God. You know what? Once you do that, then you know what? Things of the kingdom no longer are wearing you out and tired all the time. You see, we're going to get tired. It's going to take some work to do what God is calling us to do here. Because it's not about us, right? There's a much bigger picture. And that's what we have to understand. All right? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. And we're going to look at verse 1. I therefore, this is Paul speaking, I therefore, see, Ephesians is the New Testament church. It's the Joshua church. It's the church that God is trying to establish all across the universe. This is a picture of the New Testament church. Look what Paul says. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you. Paul is begging. Beg or beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Paul is beseeching and begging that we would walk worthy of the calling to which we were called. Folks, the way you walk, I can tell a lot about you as the way you walk. You see that? How you walk. How we walk. God says he calls things that aren't as though they are. We need to be walking like we are already in the destiny that God has for us. We need to be walking that way. Well, it's not all happened yet. Well, no, but keep walking, right? Keep walking. That's what you have to do as a child. What's a child do? One of the first things he learns is how to walk. And that's part of the growing stage. We have to walk in the calling. He's called us out of the abyss of depravity, out of all that muck and mire and darkness. He called you out of that. Now it's a whole new way to live. It's a whole new way. Am I making sense? And so now, we learn and understand and grow in that in the body of Christ. Together. He's called you to something you cannot begin to do on your own. You need other people to do this, what God has called you to. You need other people, right? He has saved you and called you to a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his own grace and purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But now has been revealed to us by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought immorality to light through the gospel. Are you with me? God has called you and I before time began. He's called us in this time. Now, this calling, you know what? I bet over 20 marriages in this church. The people came in here living together. And they come and they hear the word. They call me up. We need to have a talk. We come in my office. You know, we need to get married. Well, you're going to have to separate. And you're going to have to do this and this. And they agree to do it. You know why? It's not because it's because all of a sudden, you know what? God's calling them. Call them out of that way of living and calling them in to what He's created them for. And every one of them are married today and doing well. I'm not saying they're not having some struggles, but they're doing. You see what I mean? It's this idea that God is calling us to a whole nother way to live. A whole nother way to live. And that calling is something we got to understand. And you know what, folks? A lot of us don't even think about how we're called. We're just still babies. You see that? You can be 75 years old and a baby in Christ. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more discouraging to me to see that. They've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, and they're still a baby. I don't know why, but that just rubs me wrong sometimes. They never did anything to grow, to mature, and they're still whining and about every little thing, and they want this, that, their way, and they're just, you see what I mean? Am I making sense? I'm not pounding on nobody, but just, do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now look at this. He's called you with, He wants you to walk worthy of that calling. Now look what He says, with all lowliness, humility. Humility. Folks, it's going to take humility to walk in the call that God has called you to. Humility. People don't like humility. People don't like to be humble, right? They don't want to, it's not popular to walk in humility, is it? Look what it says. With all lowliness, humility, and gentleness. That word gentleness means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. That's what He's called you to. He wants you to not get all wrapped up in the circumstances, but be more focused on who you are and what God has called you to, and not allow everything out here, the conditions and circumstances, to dictate to you how you're going to live your life. Now look what He says. With long-suffering, long-suffering. Everybody say long-suffering. That means patience. It takes patience in this walk with the Lord, doesn't it? It's going to take patience. You know what? It's going to take patience from you and I. This is how our patience are developed. Right here among each other. He's going to put difficult people in your life. He's going to call you to doing things that are difficult, and it's going to take you being patient. Well, I'm tired of doing that all the time. If I got to do it all the time, I'm the only one around here that does anything. You know what? I see Dave Deich. Did I say it right, Deich? He comes in, he's here on Saturday night, doing the coffee shop. I came in here early because I had a wedding today. I came in here early. Had his growth group back there, up there leading and teaching in his growth group. He comes and takes care of the coffee, gets that all together, empties all the trash. Tomorrow morning, he'll be emptying the trash all through the church and taking care of, and comes and sits and takes notes. All the time. And smiling. Got four kids. You hear what I'm saying? Four kids. And, you know, them two little ones are, you know, I mean, they can be, I'm just saying, you know, I can wear me out. But you know what I'm saying? He has a great attitude. I'm just trying to show you. He is an example because he's made up his mind. He has a made up mind that he is going to advance God's kingdom. And that's it. And you know what? You see that he's not all burdened and down and you know, beat down and I can't do this. You know, just telling you everything. No. He's happy to do it. He's full of joy. Am I making sense? I know we get tired. We do. But we got to have a made-up mind. You know what? You know what's opposing you? The carnal mind. That old carnal mind is opposition to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is trying to get you to walk in the Spirit so you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the carnal mind. See, that's that calling, to walk worthy. How you walk worthy? with the Spirit, the Word of God, as you start to line your life up with the Word of God, now you're lining your life up with the Spirit. You see that? And that will empower you. That will empower you. Now look at this. Bearing with one another in love. That's relationship. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy is going to fight you scraping. I mean, he is going to fight your marriage. He is going to fight your relationships. He is going to try to stir up stuff in here because he doesn't want you to be relational. Because he knows if you can be relational, now you can start promoting some unity. See? He knows if you're relational, now you can start promoting unity. And Psalms 133 says where God commands the blessing is where unity is. Where there's unity, God commands the blessing. And see, that's the idea. Bearing with one another, where? In love. Bearing means you got to put up with some stuff, right? We got to put up with some stuff. What you laughing at, Karen? You got to put up with some stuff. And that, and what that's saying is, in love, right? Love keeps no record of wrongdoing. Get a hold of that. I'm not going to bring up what you did yesterday, right? I'm not. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. That is the biggest lie. You understand? You want some more of that? But the idea is, don't be bringing that mess up. It's done. And be about the ministry of reconciliation. That takes stuff off of you. It does. That wears you down trying to, because this one's done this and they're not, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. How many of you know you can be right, but you can be wrong? We're going to talk about that. You can be so right and way wrong. Big time. How, it's your attitude. Now look at this. Oh, look at that next word. Verse 3. First word, what? Endeavoring. Man, you know what? That's telling us this is going to be hard. Arduous. Laborious. This is going to be some work. Yeah. This is not going to be easy. Am I making sense? It's not going to be easy. Once you understand that, and you have a made-up mind, stuff comes off of you. I'm just trying to help you out. That's growing. Endeavoring. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to take work on your and my part about the kingdom of God. So others can come in and we can change their diapers and burp them and take care of them and look after them and call them. You see what I mean? And when they're crying, hey, listen to them for a second and then, you know, but we're going to have to do this. God is calling, endeavoring to keep the what? The unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity. That word keep is guard, shield, and protect. He wants you to work diligently, endeavoring to do what? To keep, to guard, shield, and protect the what? The unity. Why? The unity means we're getting along. That's where the power is in the unity. When we have corporate unity, there's power. That's where power is. That's when people walk in the door, they say, man, I sense something different in here. Man, there was unity in here last week. You sense that? There was power in here. There was unity. And that's what we have to endeavor to keep that. And quit and looking at, you know, I've got to do this all the time. And this, you know that we got to get our eyes. Folks, we have to deem the unity of the Spirit above our own personal agenda. And our own individual agenda. You have to maintain unity. If you don't maintain unity, it will dissipate. If you don't maintain unity in your marriage, in your family, in your business, in your church, it will dissipate. It takes endeavoring. You have to be conscious. You have to, it costs you. It's going to be some work involved in you keeping the unity. Am I making sense? I know I'm preaching a little bit tonight, but the idea is, folks, we got to understand this. This is something we got to understand for where we're going. We got to understand it. The unity is way up there. And we got to understand that that's the priority here. And so our agenda and our little idea we need to just lay it down sometimes. You see that? We just need to put that aside and let God deal with it. Am I making sense? Now, if we leave unity unattended, it will turn into confusion. You have to be purposeful and mindful to promote unity and endeavoring. We must deem the unity of the Spirit above our individual agenda, above our image, above our reputation, above our influence. Because God is all about unity. Look what he says. There's one body and one spirit. Just as you were called. See, that's what you're called to. One body and one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all who is rich to all and in you all. You see that? One Father. We're all coming to one Father. We want to hear from one Father. And that's what happens. When you hear God's word, you're hearing his word. I'm not preaching my word. I'm preaching his word. And when you hear it and receive it, it goes to work for you. If you will work the word, it will work for you. If you'll receive it and work it, it will begin to work for you. Now look at this. Look at this. Think about it. We come from all different backgrounds. All kinds of problems, you know, and childhood problems. I mean, everything. All kinds of ethnic background. Everything comes in here. One Father. I think that's good news, don't you? Everything coming here to hear his word. And when we come, see, look, if the enemy can distort that or keep you from receiving that, he's going to do it by affecting the unity, the relationships. Get your mind on something else and off his word and off the receiving of his word. Now look at this. Now go with me to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Reconciliation, remember? Also, look at this. For the work of the ministry, for what? For the edifying of the body. The edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the work of the ministry, that's what we do. As we do the work of the ministry, it's going to build up the body. It's always, and that word edify is a contractor's term. It means to rebuild, restore, and remodel. I know you've heard some of this, but we need to hear it again. Now look at this. Verse 13. Till we all come to the what? To the unity. You see, there's five offices, five functions. Prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher. One assignment. One assignment. What's the assignment? Unity. Unity is the assignment. If any of those gifts are not promoting unity, you know right there they're not sent from God. Right there, you can pick it up. If it's not promoting unity, it's not from God. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're in the bathroom and you're talking and you're, you know, and what you're hearing isn't promoting unity, you know, This isn't from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're in the parking lot and it's not promoting unity, you know right there, this is not from God. Because anything God is about is unity. Because He wants to release the blessings on our lives. He wants you to be blessed. But we got to do it His way. And when we begin to do it His way, we're all going to be blessed because of it. And people are going to come here and be healed and be restored. Are you with me tonight? Now look at this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. There's that maturity again. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be what? Children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. You see, He doesn't want us to be children tossed to and fro. He doesn't want us, you know, coming here and receiving the word and then go Monday and watch Oprah and get a good idea from her and jump on it. Oprah's okay. Dr. Phil's okay. But you understand, they're not speaking the same things we're speaking, right? You know, or the whatever they're talking about at work, that's, you know, you get caught up in that. Folks, if it doesn't line up with God's word, see, that's a sign of maturity. Now I'm being governed by God's word. And that's the call. That's the call. He's calling us to that. Is it easy? No. But He's developing that love in us. He's developing that love. So we're not imputing others' wrongs. We're not holding record of others' wrongs and what they've done to us. Right? Now think, remember in Ephesians 3 that we would know the love that passes knowledge? And then he says, and be filled to the fullness of God the Father. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What's that saying? That's saying that in your darkest day, when all hell is being unleashed against you, you're dependent on God. You're going to God. You are talking to Him, and all hell is breaking loose in your life. Now, He can release power through you. See, that puts some of the responsibility on you because you're going to God in this dark day. But what happens is when your children and babies, the dark day comes, they just want to quit and they want to go do their own thing. Or they want to go somewhere else and they want to go do their own thing. Does that make sense? Huh? They want to quit. And see, that's immaturity. The maturing is you keep going to God and you keep seeking Him and you keep praising Him and you stay in His word and you watch the power of God flow through you. See, that's the whole goal, is that the power of God will flow through you and help other people. That's the grace of God. See, you're getting the grace of God by sticking with Him through all hell. And I'm here to tell you now, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged in this church because this is the direction we're going. You're going to be challenged at times. You're going to think, man, all hell is coming out. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want what He has for you and you're going to answer this calling, this is how it's going to be. Y'all don't look real happy. But listen, folks, what else is there? What else is there? Right? I want to be about advancing God's kingdom. I know when I'm doing that, man, there is nothing more fulfilling than that. Nothing satisfies, nothing compares to that, to me. You hear what I'm saying? I tell you what, I'm that crazy about coming up here on Saturday night. I mean, you know, I could be doing anything on Saturday night. My whole day is thinking about what I'm talking about tonight. I'm consumed with that. But it's all right. If I got to start another service on Saturday night, we're going to do it. Because I want to, I'm about advancing His kingdom. Am I making sense? And you know, I don't want to say I, but that's God's calling us to that. Folks, people are not, look at what's going on around us, right? Now look at this. All right. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according in harmony with the effecting working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see that? Every part doing its share. When everybody, you know what? You all have gifts that I need. And I know I have some things that you need. And if you are connected here, you'll find exactly what you need right here. Are you listening to me? You will find it right here in the body. Could be a business deal. You're going to see that. Could be, you know, you just need somebody to talk to. Could be. I mean, it could be anything that you need. You'll find it right here in this body. The answer. Why do I say that? Look at this. For the edifying of itself in love. The body of Christ is designed to heal from within itself, just like your body is. If you cut your arm, those white corpuscles begin to coagulate, begins to gel. Your immune system begins to go to work. Everything in your body begins to go to work. Goes to work for that. It's the same way in the body here. When the body is working itself, whenever somebody's wounded, they need mercy, somebody with the gift of mercy shows up, right? Whenever somebody's hurting and they've fallen, somebody with grace shows up. Pours it on them. Whenever somebody's been lied to, somebody shows up with some truth. Healing. Wholeness begins right in the body. It edifies itself. It works itself. It just works. Is this making sense? That's what he's saying here. Now look at this. This I say, verse 17, I'm almost done. This I say for, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer, oh, look at that word, no longer what? Walk. See, he's really after our walk, isn't he? That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, what? Walk in the futility of their mind. Now, what's he saying there? The rest of the Gentiles would be like, okay, so you're born again, and maybe your parents and the rest of your family is not born again. Well, you go to a family reunion, and they're all hooping it up as they always have, but now you're different. See, he doesn't want you to go there and hoop it up and you know, jump in and, you know, am I making any sense? I mean, it's not that he don't want you to have fun, because I'll tell you what, I have me some fun. It's fun being a believer. But what I'm trying to show you is you no longer walk the way you used to walk. Well, my mom raised me and had five kids, and she sweated hard and worked hard. She's done her best for me. I'm going to... It don't matter. You can love her, but you don't have to go back and do the same things and be about that. You have to show her the walk. You see that? What you were once loyal to, Because of the unity, now you got to be loyal to the commitment of the unity, and you're going to have to be disloyal in some areas to where you used to be, in your family or the people you used to run around with. God's calling you to that unity. Are you getting this tonight? Am I making sense? And it's going to take endeavoring. Everybody say endeavoring. It's going to take some work. Now look at this. The futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Not because they're ignorant, it's the ignorance that's in them. See? Your parents or your relatives or those friends that are not born again, they're not mean, wicked people. They're just in darkness, and they're ignorant of spiritual things. And that's the way you need to see them. They're not wicked, mean people. They just don't understand. They're still natural. They cannot receive the things. They think it's foolishness, like we read earlier, right? See, we're laying some groundwork now. This is a little bit different than last week. But this is important. You see this. Having their understanding darkened. See, darkness represents, what's it represent? Ignorance. Satan wants to keep you ignorant because he can rule you in darkness. He can't rule you if you're in light. When you are in light, he can't rule you when you're in light. See, and that's what happens when you come to hear the word of God. You are hearing the word, and it's bringing light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you get that understanding, he can't rule in your life. He can only rule where you are have ignorance and darknesses in your life. So that's what we're trying to help you understand. And the thing that he wants to do is affect your relationships and the unity. We're out of time. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Boy, oh boy. I got so much more. But we're going to have to wait. It is so important that you understand. Where are you at? Are you natural? Are you carnal? Or are you spiritual? You know, identify that within yourself tonight. Where am I at? The carnal mind brings forth death. That word death means separation, not about the ministry of reconciliation. See, reconcile means to bring together that which was separated. But the spiritual mind brings life and peace. See, when we're spiritually minded and we are about the things of the Spirit, then folks, we're going to be promoting reconciliation and unity. All right. You know what? I didn't even use my notes tonight. That's all right. Maybe we'll use them next week. I'll have some more next week. But, Fred, you're going to do your thing and then we'll close because it's getting late. All right, I'm going to drop something else on you before you leave here. James chapter 3 and verse 14, you don't have to look it up, just kind of can look it up later. But it says this, but if you have bitter envy and strife or self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, natural, sensual, and demonic. You see, that's that carnality, those five senses. Is your house full of strife, arguing all the time? If it is, that's going to help you identify where you're at. If you're at work and you're always at strife with others, that's going to let you know where you stand. There's some growth needs to take place, right? Because listen, folks, God is all, he's trying to get these relationships. And this right here hammers relationships. Strife, bitterness, envy, that's just ripping it, relationships. Am I making sense? So, and that wisdom doesn't come from God. Doesn't come from God. Now look what he says in verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking and strife exist, confusion and every evil thing are right there. Every evil spirit is right there waiting to assist and help out with tearing down your relationships and who you're involved with. If it's at work, you need to pray before you go to work. You need to pick up this word and get you some word in you. And you need to pray for the person who you're arguing with the most. Because God is trying to get you to grow. He's trying to get you to grow and develop you. Are we making sense tonight? Now, because look, many people can be right. I mean, there are a lot of people who are right. I have people try to argue with me all the time, you know, in little things. And they're right. But it's their attitude and they can't be relational. You see that? If you can be right about the issue, but wrong if you're not relational. If you're not relational, you're wrong. I don't care how right you are. If you can't be relational, you're wrong. That's how you know I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Is this thing promoting unity in my marriage and with my people I work with, the people in the church? See, this has to be everywhere, not just here. This is where to be promoters of this everywhere. Doesn't this make sense? So, everybody say, I want to be right. And I want to promote unity. Wherever I go. In my attitude. In my thoughts. And in my speech. I don't want to be vituperative. Now that's a word for you. I'm going to give you the meaning next week. Have a blessed week, okay?